In recent years, large numbers of articles have been published about advances in the fight against dementia, the loss of a person's mental faculties, which often accompanies old age. But how much further forward are we, not only in treating, but also in diagnosing and understanding dementia? Greg Jackson met with Rosa Sancho, who's head of research at Alzheimer's Research UK, to find out.
So Alzheimer's disease is a form of dementia, is the most common cause of dementia. And there's a hallmark to all of these diseases, which is the accumulation of proteins in the brain. So in the case of Alzheimer's disease, there's accumulation of two proteins, amyloid and tau. Amyloid forms sticky clumps in the brain outside the brain cells called plaque, and tau forms tangles inside the cells.
And we have no idea why these proteins build up?
We don't know really what causes these diseases. It's likely to be a mix of genes and environment, but recent research advances have told us a lot about these causes.
And one bit of research that has told us a lot more about the workings of Alzheimer's on a neuron-by-neuron basis is done by Dr. Rick Livesey at Cambridge University.
Would you mind signing in?
Sure.
What's he been doing that's so remarkable? Well, he's growing brains from skin cells in a petri dish.
So here in the lab, what we've been doing is making human nerve cells from people with different types of dementia, including Alzheimer's disease. And that allows us to study how the disease starts and progresses within real human nerve cells, but in a lab situation.
Rick calls them nerve cells, but these nerve cells, or neurons, are the building blocks of our brain. But how can you get a brain to grow in a lab? Well, he's basically made a womb.
What these big cabinets are is essentially they're at body temperature, so they keep the stem cells happy. And actually what they're doing is they're growing in a mixture of salt and sugar. And it's like they're in sort of normal body fluids. So if we take them out and show you on the microscope.
They are literally petri dishes with some fluid swishing around. They actually look pretty unremarkable. That is, until you put them under a microscope. And then you can see all these neurons. But how do you get these brain cells in the first instance? It all starts with skin cells, which they reverse engineer into a stem cell. These are a bit like the first few cells that then form an embryo and can basically turn into any other type of cell. They could form a bit of your bone or your lung or your eye, but Rick makes them turn into brain cells.
In normal development, a single cell ends up making an entire body or an organism. And we understand a fair amount about how cells talk to another and sort of the genetic mechanisms by which that happens. So we use that knowledge to essentially drive the stem cells down particular roads and ignore others.
Now, I assume you're not growing entire brains in petri dishes here, only a region of the brain?
Yeah, so we grow this thing called the cerebral cortex, and only a small part of it. I mean, to put it in context, a human brain weighs about a kilogram. That's an awful lot of cells. It's of the order of 10 billion cells. So we typically will grow, you know, a couple of million cells at a time.
I find that kind of amazing and slightly weird.
Well, it's you know, biological systems have a lot of self-organizing properties. So the neurons we're showing you now are organized largely in two dimensions.
Because what we're seeing here is, well, it doesn't resemble a brain at all. You have to put it under a microscope to be able to even see it. Why do you need to do this? How does this help?
Most people, when they hear about Alzheimer's, what they're used to hearing about is these MRIs which show, you know, really small brains. That's very late in the disease. The early stage of the disease is characterized by what's called mild cognitive impairment, where people get the memory loss. And what's actually underlying that is it's a dysfunction in how neurons communicate with one another. And how neurons communicate with one another is these things called synapses, which is the sort of gap between individual nerve cells. And as far as we can tell, all the early symptoms of the disease are what we would call a manifestation of synaptic dysfunction. And that's why it's so important to be looking at the level of real neurons in the lab, because that's the level at which the disease really operates.
Now that you can see how this disease progresses on this tiny, tiny scale, how does that then become an application outside the lab?
It allows us to study the mechanisms by which the disease starts and progresses. And that means we understand it more, and we can, the jargon we use is the pathways, biological pathways. And biological pathways are the level at which you target drugs.
Because my understanding is currently a lot of the drugs for Alzheimer's tend to be more treating the symptoms than the actual progression of the disease.
Yeah, I mean, the there are no disease-modifying drugs for Alzheimer's disease. You know, like many people, I get emails most weeks from families when a family member is diagnosed, just asking, just saying, you know, what's available, what are the trials? And it's very common that when I reply and, you know, and say, well, actually, right now there are no drugs which will halt the disease or slow the disease, a very common response I get back is, are you kidding me? Because most people, you know, just, you know, happily up to then haven't been aware of the fact that it's not like cardiovascular disease, it's not like cancer. We really have very little in our toolkit.
I do find this quite shocking because as a journalist, I'm always leafing through press releases and it feels as though every week there's some sort of Alzheimer's advance. I put this to Rosa.
You're right. What you're seeing is a huge momentum behind dementia research. There is political will. There is more funding, meaning that there are more discoveries being made, more clinical trials ongoing than ever before, and new ways of treating the disease, which really weren't here before.
I wonder whether you could give us a quick pit stop tour of what you think has been really important in advancing our understanding of the disease.
Genetic studies have shown us new avenues of research. We also have more knowledge now of how amyloid and tau interact to cause brain cell death. These have led to exciting new treatments that are anti-amyloid and anti-tau therapies, as well as diagnostic markers to try to trace these two proteins in the brain.
Rosa Sancho from Alzheimer's Research UK, and before her, Rick Livesey from Cambridge University. They were speaking with Naked Scientist Greer Jackson.